Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Times of Your Life on WJTN. I'm Andrew Hill.
I'm Russ Dietrich.
And Russ, we are blessed this morning to have on the show two wonderful people, community-minded people, hardworking people, and I'm already exhausted with this conversation because my brain's going in so many different directions I want to go in this interview with the Tirana family, and this is going to be great.
There's other people blessed more than we are, and that's the people that live in this community.
That is right.
Because they are here.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's nice.
So, Brenda and Vic Tirana, welcome to the Times of Your Life. Thanks for making it. We know you guys are bouncing between a couple different states, and retirement's good, right? Or somewhat retired?
Well, semi-retired.
Okay.
Some of us are really retired.
Yeah, right. But that's been a number of years.
You know, that's the joke in our family.
Right.
That, you know, I never really worked.
Sure.
That's such a lie.
Oh, and we know it.
Anybody
that knows it, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, for those that don't know the Tirana family, you are the entrepreneurs that have built the local Tim Hortons empire. But before Tim Hortons, 20 years?
Yes, 20 years
in April.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole history before that, and I think that's where I want to start. And
oh,
so, Vic, I want to start with you. And first, you know, the Tirana family, the heritage, the roots, where do the Tiranas come from?
Well, originally I'm from Rochester, New York. So I worked for Bausch & Lomb and went to Cincinnati for them as a sales manager. And then Bausch & Lomb decided they were going to move the Accurite division here to Jamestown. And four of us moved in town and ran it. And then I left in 2000. And that's my roots. I went Rochester, Cincinnati to here.
Did you know anything about Jamestown before you arrived here?
Yeah, I did. You know, I spent some time, a long time before that, with Bausch & Lomb and then the acquisition of Microline. And so I was down here and transitioning that for the company back in mid-70s when we took it over.
When did your family first step on the shore?
Well, see, my parents were, well, my father was born in Rochester. My mother was from Springfield, Missouri. My grandparents came over from Italy. So I don't know exactly what year that was, but they were the first generation here.
And where did they come into the New York area?
They came in. They came through New York City, and then right to Rochester. Yeah.
Was there something in Rochester that was drawing them there, other family or friends? Or?
No, I think it was mostly the fact that at that time it was, you know, getting work and being accepted. You know, obviously they were a minority at that time. You know, so carpenters, masons, and my dad worked for the railroad system for Amtrak for a number of years and retired with them. So
super.
Yeah.
What about you, Brenda? What's the background on Brenda?
Well, I'm a local girl. I grew up in Bemis Point. So I did move away for just a couple years to Denver. But otherwise, I've always lived local. And when we actually were looking into Tim Hortons, they wanted to move us to Batavia.
Olean.
Oh, Olean first. First, they wanted us to go to Olean, and we checked it out. And the first thing Vic asked when he got there, well, how's the ice arena? Because our son with hockey. And we didn't want to do the drive. I didn't want to leave my community. And then they offered us a store in Batavia, which was closer to his family. So we thought about it, but I still didn't want to leave my family. My grandma was... I was very, very close to my grandma, and my mother was in a nursing home here, and the boys were little. We had our Damien and Blake, and they were just little, and I didn't want to uproot them. And I loved, you know, I loved where I came from. And so we kind of held fast and said, well, when you can bring it here, then we'll do Tim Hortons. Well, then the sad thing is when they brought it here, they called Vic and said, we're ready to put a Tim Hortons here. And he's like, well, I just bought a business. And so we didn't originally open the store. A Canadian couple opened it. Here it was our dream. We're the one that had been working on it. Well, Vic had the dream because, like I said, Blake played hockey. So we would go into the Tim Hortons in Canada, and Vic kind of fell in love with the whole concept of Tim Hortons. And so it was quite a few years of talking to them. And then it comes here, and we can't even do it. Mm-hmm. So I always tell my husband that he was kind of a stalker. they opened in Brooklyn Square, and
I had to get my coffee every day, right?
Vic was running another business, and he'd go down there and talk to him, and mm-hmm. you know, and just watch what was going on and seeing if they were doing it right. And they were from Canada, so their roots were in Canada, mm-hmm. and so they would go home on the weekends. So that was hard. How do you run a store that's just starting and you're not there on the weekends? So it was kind of hard for them. So then the other business that Vic had wasn't what he thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so then we bought it. You know, a year. It was here a year, and then we bought it.
So it'll be 20 years, April 6th.
Yeah. Wow.
And Brenda, when did your family first step on the shore?
You know, I don't have the roots like Vic does. My father was adopted. Mm-hmm. My grandmother's family and grandfather, they're from Bemis. They weren't ones that, they were very private people. They mm-hmm. weren't really, so I don't really know my roots like I should, mm-hmm. like Vic does. But my grandmother grew up in Bemis. She was a Crandall. That's a mm-hmm. big name in Bemis mm-hmm. Point. Yes. My grandpa was a Starks. So I'm just from here, and I just found out my heritage just a while ago, you know, uh-huh. that I'm mostly Irish.
Oh,
I don't even look Irish.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. 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 Certainly. An Irish and Italian.
Yeah, right. I let you make the joke. Where's this going to go?
Did you graduate from Maple Grove or Bemis Point?
Maple Grove.
Grove.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
A couple years ago.
What was it, Vic, about the Tim Hortons? I mean, we'll probably a lot of our time's going to be spent around Tim Hortons because that's how the community has really gotten to know you guys.
Right.
But, what was it about, you know, the Tim Hortons, you know, not just great coffee?
Well, I traveled around the world, you know, and with Accurite as their marketing and sales executive. And yeah, I spent a lot of time in Canada, and I would always go by to Tim Hortons, and I would get my bagel or my cup of coffee, always a cup of coffee. And so when I stopped doing business planning, which actually I was involved with here when mm-hmm. when your previous owners, Mike Goldman, had it. I worked with him very closely on putting a business plan together. When I stopped doing that, her and I decided if we were going to stay here, the only thing we could do was find a business that we wanted to do. There was not really another company that I would have been able to or wanted to go with. So we did some due diligence running around, and I says, you know, I really think a Tim Hortons in Jamestown's going to work. And some of my friends says, are you kidding me? A coffee shop and a donut shop in Jamestown? Are you nuts?
All we heard is, time to make the donuts.
Yeah,
to make the donuts. And it was.
I see some of those friends now, and I say, so what do you think of coffee and donuts? And, you know, so we started the business, and I went to Canada, trained with Hortons corporately for 3 months. I stayed up there, rented a place.
Wow.
Brenda stayed, because we had the two boys, Brenda stayed down here and worked at the Brooklyn Square store that we were purchasing, and she learned there. And then we came back, and we signed the arrangement and purchased it. And when we did that, I put a 5-year plan together where I would want two more stores. Well, mm-hmm. we put those two in, which was East 2nd Street and Lakewood. And then we put two more in, you know, North Main and Foot Avenue. So, and then March, I got a phone call when I was down in Wilmington at my home down there, our second home down there, from the president of the company saying, how would you like to buy the two stores in Olean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I said yes, and the next day I called Blake and I told him where he had to be. And, he said, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so that's how we got into it.
Was there a hockey background in Tim Hortons?
Yeah, well, Tim Hortons is, right? Tim played for Buffalo. He played for Toronto, and unfortunately, on the way home from a game in Canada, in Toronto, on the QEW, he had an accident with his car, and he lost his life. And he started the business in 1964. He had a partner that was a police at in Canada. Go figure. Police, donuts, coffee, you know, but those days are over with. But they got into a partnership, and Ron Joyce just kept on growing the business. And after Tim left, that Tim passed away. And then he sold the business to Wendy's. So they were part of Wendy's for a while. Mm-hmm. And then Wendy's, and then Tim Hortons broke away from Wendy's and went on their own. Did an IPO, went on the stock market. And then back about 6-7 years ago, a company by the name of 3G is a Brazilian hedge fund company. Mm-hmm. They purchased it, and they started what they call RBI Restaurant Brands International, and that consists of Tim Hortons, Popeyes, and Burger King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they also own Heinz ketchup and stuff. Heinz company, they own that. Kraft, they have that. So they're into the food business.
Vic, you go ahead, Russ.
I was saying, Vic, with your operation, you had a great impact on the community. You had a lot of employees. You put a lot of people to work, and you handled a lot of merchandise and everything. So, your job was nice for what you were doing, but what you did for the community with that job and the other things is just fantastic.
Is that something Tim Hortons, pressed on you guys? I mean, is that part of the franchise?
It's the local community, right? And you can go to Toronto, you can go to Rochester, or in some of these major cities where Tim Hortons is, and they kind of get into they're lost in the rest of the business of the communities, mm-hmm. Whereas here in Jamestown, it's a small community, and I said to the people at Hortons when we started, I said, unless you become actively involved in your community, especially these small communities, you won't be successful. Mm-hmm. So, Brenda and I, sitting on boards, getting involved, doing whatever we can as far as helping out with donations and stuff like that. We tried to do the best we could. And as an end result with that, quite frankly, the community's been very good to us.
I don't know if I dare say this or not. I don't know whether Brenda knew it or not, but you didn't spend all your time working. I used to see you at the stadium.
I was there.
Baseball.
And I would take the kids there too. So it was, yep. And
we've been very fortunate because we live in this community, and that's why we chose to stay here, because it was our community, and the community embraced our stores. And we can't thank the community enough, because we're very successful. And who would have thought that we could put 5 stores in this little area? Yeah. I mean, one story I have is one day we were going to, I don't know if it was a Bills game or a Sabres game, and we wanted to get coffee on the way. Well, where our house is, if we go one way, we can go to Lakewood, but that's going backwards. Uh-huh. And if we go another way, we can go to Brooklyn Square, but Brooklyn Square is busy.
Right.
So probably because of me, because I'm always running late, we didn't have a lot of time. So we thought, oh, my gosh, we don't want to go to backwards, and we know we'll get tied up in Brooklyn Square. And we're like, we don't want to stop in Fredonia. That's not our store. Mm-hmm. So we're driving down the road, and we ended up going to Brooklyn Square. But we're driving, and all of a sudden we look to the left across from the cemetery, and we're like, that's a prime piece of land. Wouldn't that be a great mm-hmm. store right there? And that's how we ended up putting a store there, because we were missing all the people going out of town, or the people coming in town. And what a good store that was. So that's my one claim to fame.
Well, it's funny. You hear people like, another Tim Hortons? Do we need another? And yes, we do. Believe me. Toronto, you guys would not be putting in more Tim Hortons if it wasn't a business decision.
Well, my husband and son sat me down one day and took me to lunch. And they said, Mom, honey, we got to tell you something. I go, what? I know they're not having a baby, because that would be my job. I'm like, what's going on? They go, we're putting another Tim Hortons up. I go, what? And that's when they were telling me about Foot Avenue. I go, Foot Avenue? That's right up the store, straight from our other store. Uh-huh. Mom, we really need it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself.
Well, I think, you know what's funny? You're talking about the community involvement, and is it unheard of? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it is, to see the owners, the franchise owners of franchises like this, doing the work like you guys have done. I mean, we're not talking 9 to 5. You guys would be there at 6 in the morning. I mean,
o'clock in the morning.
Do you think that's one reason this community maybe in a way adopted it so quickly, because they saw the effort that you guys were putting in to make sure that what they were buying was worth it.
It was a little bit of an issue as we opened up more stores, because when her and I were at Brooklyn Square, we were there 80 hours a week. Yeah. Okay, I mean, that was it. We didn't treat it like a franchise. We treated it as our business, which it is.
Right.
Okay. So we felt that if we were going to be successful, we had to be the face of the business.
Yeah.
So we did. People just came in. We made a huge amount of friends as a result of the business that we still talk to today and enjoy our conversations. But as we opened up, I mean, couldn't be at one store 80 hours a week.
Right.
So now I'll walk into, especially now, but back then I would walk into one of the stores, East 2nd Street or over on Foot Avenue or whatever, and people would say, oh, geez, Vic, we haven't seen you in a while. And that was a problem, okay? And that was, and that's why with Blake now taking the business with us, it's critical that that you're in the stores and that people see you, because you are the face of the store, of the business, but you're also the member of the community.
Right.
And when people want something, okay, especially for kids, when you want something, there's no question. It's a yes, okay? I mean, we just say that's it. And that's when you say, what is Horton's ground? It was their children's foundation. You know, we do our things for camp day and stuff like that. We send local kids to camp that could never go to school, could never experience a camp. They have to get on a plane and fly to Kentucky where the camp is, you know, so they get all this experience, and it's all about the kids, and we enjoy that, you know, and we've had, I mean, the support of the community for our stores have been phenomenal. And, you know, now with us having Olean, that's one of the major things that we're trying to accomplish. You know, get involved with the community in Olean. We're getting involved with St. Bonaventure, with the kids there, with the school. We're doing some other things in that community. We got to make sure the people in Olean know that this isn't just big franchise coming in.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's a owned, you know, locally owned type business operated. So,
well, my travel a lot of times just in the community takes me through Brooklyn Square and out North Main Street. And I have never driven by where there wasn't 5 to 25 cars in line, and in each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I'm sure, were there yesterday and they were there tomorrow.
Well, you see the sticker on the window that says same time tomorrow. Is that what it says?
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
Right. When you're driving out the, and you know, there's a lot of truth there, Russ. I mean, it's amazing that some of our stores, how we'll see people 2 or 3 times a day.
That's wonderful.
You know, they'll come in, sit down, have a cup of coffee, come back after work and get a coffee or one of our cold drinks or something to eat. It's just...
It's wonderful how groups have formed at all our stores.
Oh.
I mean, people that just come in by themselves and they're sitting having a cup of coffee and they start talking to their neighbor, and they ended up becoming these coffee groups of people that... from all forms of life that would never have met anywhere else. And it's just, it warms your heart. I mean, one thing with us retiring is, like you said, it's hard because I feel so disconnected, because even with the 5 stores, we would just travel. And as we pulled away toward the end here, we would just travel around and make sure they were clean, make sure our employees were doing what they're supposed to, and talk with our customers. I mean, that was so important to us. So it's hard when, you know, we're at this time in our life where we're not as involved. And but still, I mean, Vic's a little more involved than I am, but I'll be out doing the landscaping, or I'll be out sweeping the parking lot, or sweeping the dining room. Or
decorating,
you know. But, you know, I just try to make sure that they know that we still do care. I mean, this is, we started these stores, and we want people to know that we're just so appreciative that the community embraced us like they did.
And certainly now with us moving the business over, for the vast majority of the business over to Blake, mm-hmm. you know, Blake has always, ever since he was a little kid, 12 years old, he always said to us, I want the business. I want to stay in the business. And when we decided that we were going to back out of the business, I went to Blake and I said, look, we have two choices here. One is we could just sell the business, mm-hmm. okay, and the business is strong enough that other owners and areas would have been more than willing to purchase it, mm-hmm. or, you know, Blake, you can, we'll take it to you, we'll give it to you, and we'll help you and hopefully grow it. And I said, it's your choice. I said, if you don't want to do it and you want to go out and open up a tattoo parlor, I'll help you open up a tattoo parlor. I don't care,
no.
But whatever you want, you know, whatever you want, we would do. And he kept on saying he wanted the business. So we
saw that relatively young as a teenager.
As a little kid. Yep, always said it.
When he was at Bonaventure, we would call him and say, honey, we're a little short today. Can you? Well, Mom, I was out last night. I'm just telling you right now. But he would still come in and help us. So, I mean, it is definitely a family business. Mm-hmm. I mean,
So moving it over to him, and now he's, you know, he's growing it. And, you know, we've taken out an area development agreement when we purchased Olean. So we have a commitment to do additional stores between Olean and here and mm-hmm. other areas. So, you know, he's going to hopefully take it from where we had it and over the next 5 or 10 years and double it.
So Blake isn't here to blush, so we get to take full advantage of that, Mom.
I know.
So Blake has got a beautiful family.
He does.
And it starts with his wife, who he met at Tim Hortons.
I know.
What can you tell us without him saying, Mom?
Oh, my gosh. This is the funniest story, because Vic came home one day. And he had done an interview, and he said, I just interviewed this young lady, and her mom is a general manager for McDonald's. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. Her mom told her she didn't want her working for the same company she did. She wanted her to go out on her own. And so we hired Erin. She was still in high school. Then she went off to JCC in Olean and played soccer. And then she would come back on holidays and stuff, and then she came back to the area and came to work for us and worked her way up. She worked up to assistant manager, then she was our training manager, and now she is one of our office assistants, and she runs also. Blake's got another company called GDT that services all commercial
restaurant equipment and commercial
equipment,
air conditioning.
And so she does all the scheduling for that, and then plus she does stuff for Tim Hortons. So she's worked her way right into Tim Hortons, and she's produced two beautiful mm-hmm. babies for us. We have a little grandson named Giovanni and a little granddaughter named Capri. So we are
so
very
that,
and, blessed.
But you're right. Blake did meet Erin at Tim Hortons, so while he was working. So it's, there's a situation. You know, he's staying in the community, ends up getting married to a person that worked for us, for a young lady that worked for us, and they're growing a family here, and he wants to grow the business. And, you know, her and I always said that there is nothing more satisfying when you have a business. If you have an opportunity to take that business and give it to one of your children, or have it, there's, you know, so.
And to see them appreciate that.
Appreciate it. 20 years of us, or 18 years, 19 years of us running this business and growing it to us, for him to take that, it's there's no better self-satisfaction for that.
Absolutely. Wow. I do want to bring up a subject, and I know it's sensitive, but you were talking about the kids and your son Damien.
Mm-hmm.
And Damien, a wonderful guy who was tragically, lost in an accident. because it's the times of your life, and you know, it's hard. I can't imagine what it's like to move, you know, as a business and in the community like that. But your community, they really rallied behind you guys during that.
No, it was absolutely amazing.
Well, yeah. We bought the store in April of 2002. And it still makes me cry. It'll be 20 years this year. Right. So we bought it in April 2002, and then Damien died in June of 2002. So we had we were new owners. You know, just getting our feet wet. We had told you at the beginning, we were working. I mean, we would work all day and then go home, try to get something to eat. We'd come get called back in on the overnight, and actually on the night that on the day that our son died, I had been called in to do an overnight, and I had just gotten home, and Vic calls me and said, just stay at the house. And I had gone home and woke my son up, because he was a bartender at Conowango Country Club. He loved it. I mean, we were hoping eventually he would come and work for us. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, he was 19 years old. Well, 20.
20. It was going 20 to be years 20. Old. Yeah.
And he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his life. So the Tim Hortons, when we said, you know, we lost our son, we got to go, we can't be worrying about this business, they jumped in. Yeah. And our friends that didn't know anything about anything about our Tim Hortons, they came to our store and helped and counted our money and helped with the employees. And like I said, corporate came down. I mean, we were new people to them, and they jump. I mean, to this day, a lot of those people aren't with Tim Hortons anymore because it's changed. But I thank God every day that they just rushed right in and helped us.
Yeah, they did. It was, I was at work. I was actually, it was actually tax day to pay sales tax.
Mm. So, see, I wouldn't know anything about that. That's above my pay grade.
Our accountant was with me. We're doing our first time of doing sales tax, and so we're going through that process. And that's when the law enforcement came in to talk to me. And so I went home, but I had a business. What am I going to do with it? You know, yeah. I got employees that were, you know, what's going to happen? You know, so yeah, I went back to work that afternoon because had a cash out, closed out the door, drawers, and whatever. And I actually had friends show up and say, "Okay, you got a list of stuff that we got to do so we can help you run this." You know, one of them said, absolutely, one of them was Mike Goldman walked in.
Mm-hmm. Mike Goldman. Okay.
Mike Goldman and another friend of ours walked in, and Mike says, "Vic, I can count the drawers down." I said, "Mike, you're not counting the drawers." I said, "Let me assure you, you're not counting the drawers." So it was, and you know, and from that end, and Horton sent corporate people in, and they ran the store, and unlike you wouldn't expect it, but the best thing that happened for her and I is we went right back to work. You know, we didn't have much choice. So right. Like 4 or 5 days later, we're back in the store. And the community, the people, you know, was the support we got was enormous. Yeah. Absolutely enormous.
And you know, it made, I mean, you don't want to lose your child, but it made us stronger so that, you know, over the years, we've met so many people in our stores that have lost a child.
Right.
And so we've kind of been able to help them, you know, as they helped us. Yeah. So we've kind of passed on what they've done for us. So it's, sure. You know, it's all about community. And at one time I wrote a little article for one of the local papers, and it said, "What do you like about your hometown?" And that's what I said. I said that they embrace you. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we were at our lowest, you know, we still had to go back to work, but people came in and just told us they loved us or gave us a hug or, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. On that note of family, I want to bring up something that's near and dear to three of the four of us, and that's the sport of ice hockey. Because, you know, obviously you never would have come across the Tim Hortons, you know, you'd be working, but then there's that little association, too, of, well, cool, this is kind of a hockey thing, right? And then yeah. Blake is like, hey, it's yeah. Kind of a hockey thing.
And,
hey,
and, really, and by the way, Blake is going to the game tonight, so.
But I want to look to hockey because talk about the friendships and the hard work and the dedication. And, I mean, Blake played hockey.
Blake played hockey. He did, and as you know, there you guys are all on the travel team, and weekends were typically not here in Jamestown. And you know, with us running the business, we both couldn't always leave on the weekends because you know it's not like we worked Monday through Friday. Okay, we and took Saturday and Sunday off, so. You know, there was times when she would get in the car and go, and there was times when I would get in the car and go, or times when we could both go, you know, and if it was a game here, we would go to the game in our uniforms and watch the game and see you, Blake, we're going back to the store, you know, but that's where it is a relationship. When you look at it, Tim Horton and the involvement that Blake was in hockey, and, you know, I played hockey as a kid. So it all just kind of, into play. Yeah,
we couldn't wait till Blake turned 16 so we could get him a vehicle so he could take himself to practice. It's like, oh, thank you.
Well, then on top of being in the business and the hockey, I mean, everybody associates, you know, ice rinks with being cold, and they should because most of them are. And then, I mean, every time you see somebody walk through with a Tim Hortons, there was a, I won't lay the name, but I know there was a former general manager at the ice arena that goes, son of a! Because he's looking at his, you know, his concession stand. It's like, well, if you serve Tim Hortons coffee, it'd be better. But I mean, you see nothing but Tim Hortons coffee. It's just such a routine for people, you know, in their days, you know, to stop and get that cup of coffee.
And there's a lot of time. I mean, if you look at any Canadian game, and then even in the States here, where there's Tim Hortons, you know, you'll see Tim Hortons has their name all over the dashboards, and you know, they in the case of Buffalo, we sponsor the dashboards and a bunch of parts of that. All the coffee in the arena is all Tim Hortons coffee. So there's a great relationship, and there's a lot of synergism, hockey and Hortons, you know. So,
like, is there a Tim Hortons in every state in the United States, and is there any offshore other than Canada?
Oh, well, there's 4,500 locations in Canada, okay? I mean, you can go. I mean, they're across the street from each other, okay? it's you know, you wake up in your morning, you talk to people in Canada, they wake up in the morning and go get their Tim's.
Yeah.
In the States, there's about 650 of them. The vast majority of them, the most successful, is the Buffalo market area, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, Buffalo, Tim Horton, Canada, hockey, it just, you know, the synergism is just, it's natural. They do very strong all along Michigan, Ohio, Rochester, Buffalo, all this area, and then they go down to West Virginia. There is one in Virginia that a lot of people have tried to go to, and their GPS takes them there, but the Air Force Base won't let them in through
that. Funny?
They won't let them through the gates.
Oh my gosh!
They,
funny.
They pull people, up.
Yeah.
They pull up, and they say, "I'm coming from my Hortons." Go, you're not coming in here to get it. You know.
That's
so,
funny.
Other than that, and when you talk about offshore. Very heavy in England. They've really? Opened up in the Philippines. They've opened up in Spain. So this relationship with Restaurant Brands International made it very a little bit easier for Hortons to expand into the foreign markets because of the Burger King relationship and stuff like that. So Popeyes, you know, down south. And
there was a rumor years ago that, you know, man, I'm so addicted to Tim Hortons coffee. I'm so addicted. Is it true that there was a some type of research in Canada that they were like, oh my gosh, this is being laced with something at a manufacturing level?
Yeah. Well, you're being polite, but the amount of cocaine in there is very little.
He did not say that.
We tell people that's you know, they say, geez, once we do it, but you know, that's a if you look at, there's a test that's been done by a lot of places. If you have a cup of coffee and you drink that two or three times, your taste buds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the taste buds you have. Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend down south that we have that's a good friend, always drank a competitor's coffee. And I got him a case of our single serve K-cups.
Mm-hmm.
I says, and I want you to drink these with your wife, but don't tell me how they are until after you've gone through the case. Well, we ship them to him all the time.
Wow.
Vic is all about marketing.
That's all he'll drink now. Vic, I'm out of my cake cups. Can you send me a case and I'll take care of it with you when you get down here? So it's
and all we hear is, please, Vic and Brenda, open up a Tim Hortons down in North Carolina. And I'm just like, please, Vic, don't open up a Tim Hortons in North Carolina. I need to golf.
But it's true. When you know, I remember when we moved to Charlotte for that year, and you know, I came back and forth maybe 8 times, more than I probably wanted to. But I knew, hit that last one in West Virginia there, because it. Yeah, and, you know, right. And then when you're going to visit family, it's like we had Chet Eckloff on not long ago. Right? Bring the pink stripe cookies and the Tim Hortons. That's what I took to my sister a while ago. And but it's true. And also, it's cool about Tim Hortons is the gift sets. I mean, it's Christmas time is going to be here before you know it. And people even gift each other Tim Hortons Christmas ornaments.
I know.
I mean, how cool. Who else does that?
It's amazing. And not to disclose, but I just saw yesterday the new ornament that we're going to be getting here in about a week or two that's coming in.
Hopefully we get it.
Who knows? It's probably
we never even got our spring merchandise.
Distribution channels right now are not the best, but they are assuring us that come here in about 2-3 weeks, we'll have them in the middle of November. But another design of cups and a new designed ornament for the tree, you know, that's kind of cute. And people are just going to really, you know, I'm sure they, I mean, we have people just come in and say, are the ornaments here yet? Are the cups here yet?
That's
amazing. For my
Tim Hortons tree.
What's funny, we go to people's house and have coffee and they all pull out their Tim Hortons mugs.
Uh-huh.
And we've given them some of them, but right. Others they have bought.
Is the menu pretty much the same in each Tim Horton?
There's minimum product requirements, okay? For example, like donuts, there's a minimum required variety of donuts that you have to have, 16 of them, okay, varieties. In our case, we carry about 24, okay, because there's people that say, you know, I want something that's not necessarily one of the requirements. So, but those are optional, but everybody throughout the system should have the same lunch sandwiches, the same cold drinks, the same baked good products. And then, you know, if you want to add some stuff to it, you can, but it's got to be a Hortons approved product.
It's very common, and we joke about it. Things have changed, but the police officer donut idea, and now it's more first responders and caffeine. But I know there is no recruitment efforts on your part when it comes to camp day to get the first responders to help out.
Amazing.
I mean, because you guys are there for them and helping keep them going.
Your radio station support.
I know, you guys have
the support your radio station has done for us. You know, your rep Jim and doing remotes that's been approved. It's just outstanding. And then this year, for example, Bonaventure came out to Olean, and we had the coaches of all the basketball teams and stuff working the drive-thru.
And that's unheard of.
Unheard of. NCAA,
right?
Right,
wow.
Right.
Well, Blake, you know, went to Bonaventure, and Blake loves Bonaventure, and they love him. I mean, it's a great it was a great market for you know, we thought maybe at some time we'd get into it, and it was a great time because now Blake's, you know, in charge. And he loves it. I mean, he loves Bonaventure, and they have a great.
And I mean, the coach, the head coach of the Bonaventure, Mark Schmidt, was actually, I was with him working one of the speaker boxes at one of our stores. He was out there, you know, and trust me, when he walked up to the window, everybody knew who he was, the car window, and, you know, they were very generous. So it was,
they weren't giving change.
You know, but that's, you know, so, yeah, and, you know, sending these, and it's ultimately just sending these kids to camp.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this year across Canada and the United States, just a one day of coffee sales, that all your coffee sales, when people come in and buy all their coffee, we send that money to camp. So that's a donation that the owners do.
Right.
But, and then we have people that put in, you know, baskets that we're raffling off or whatever. But across the United States and Canada, one day, $12.5 million.
Not amazing.
Just that's one day.
Yeah. People are just generous.
It's amazing.
And when we do the cookies, the smiley cookie sales. Mm-hmm. They fly out of our stores because people are just so generous. You know, so they give a dollar and that dollar goes to help out the local hospitals. And people come in and buy dozens mm-hmm. of cookies at a time.
Well, it's a funny thing because she brings that up. We they used to do when we did the Smiley Cookie program, there used to be just like one hospital. It would be typically a Buffalo hospital, and it was Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the vast majority of people, even in this community, if you say that, hey, you want to buy a Smiley Cookies, a dollar we're sending the proceeds to help the Children's Hospital in Buffalo, they relate to that because a lot of people locally have had to use the Children's Hospital in Buffalo, unfortunately.
Or their family.
Right? So that was good. Well, then Hortons came and said, what would you like to do if it wasn't in Buffalo and you wanted to do your own? So we said, well, we would like to do UPMC, the mm-hmm. local hospital.
Right.
So Blake went and met with people at the hospital. They agreed, and this was 2 years ago. We agreed to $25,000 over 5 years, okay? And what they did, again, for kids, it was an agreement to buy the monitoring equipment. If you have an infant, when the infant's born, they have to monitor the infant. Yep. And you have to go in and take all the vitals. Well, now they got the equipment that they can monitor them and see it. And think, well, that was purchased by our donation of Smiley Cookies. Well, we committed to 5 years. It took 2 years.
Wow.
Last year and this year, I mean, 13,000 cookies just this year alone from bought by local community people. Okay. And it's just, and that's a support that you don't get anywhere else.
That's a support avenue which is yours. It's not all of the Tim Hortons all over the world. It's all yours, isn't it, that you support the hospital?
Yeah.
Well, we're lucky because we're in such a contained area. No. I mean, there are stores. I mean, in Buffalo, you have a lot of owners, mm-hmm. then it's a bigger area. I mean, we're just so lucky that it's a local Tim Hortons,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it is. I mean, you know, if someone gets mad at us at Brooklyn Square and they say, well, we're never coming to this store again. We're like, okay.
Yeah, right.
We don't say, well, we don't have them all around here.
Right. It's like the radio station. Don't like it, turn the channel.
Yeah.
All chances are no.
You know, with the amount of transactions that we do a week, you know, not, you know, there's times and people are saying, you know, this wasn't right or that wasn't right. And well, people know who we are, and right. we'll get that text. I'll be down in Carolina, whatever. I'll get that text, or she'll get one email saying, hey, I was just in your store at this store, and I asked for my coffee this way, and they forgot to put the sugar in. Okay, but, you know, people know us enough to come directly to Brenda or myself or Blake. They know us good enough to know that, hey, I can go right to these people and do it.
I wrote down on my sheet here, drive-through, because one of my questions was, you know, you always hear about secret shoppers. So I want to know, how often over the last 19 years did you and Brenda and Vic go through the drive-through just to see how they were performing? Vic, did you have to disguise your voice? Because I'm sorry, but you have kind of this, you know, recognizable voice.
Well, let me tell you, I go through, when I'm in town, I'll go through one or two of the stores, three of the stores every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just through the drive-through. And I'll get to the speaker box, and if someone says, you know, welcome to Tim Hortons, how can I help you? I say, are you suggesting anything today? Oh, it's you, Vic. You know, you know. So once they get past it, yeah, I want a large, extra large coffee with two creams and a bagel toasted. Once I get past it, they say, okay, Vic, pull up. You know, so they know but I'm getting that initial comment, you know, or I'm driving through and saying, why is the menu board not right? Or you know, what about this the light is out and you got to get the light replaced, you know, so they know when we're in town. So, yes, we will go through the drive-through constantly.
I went through one yesterday. I was on my way to golf, and went through, and I'm not in the stores that much anymore. Right. So, and we've, you know, got a lot of new
people. They don't
recognize
your voice
and
that
much. I go to the window, and she goes, that'll be $10.95. I go, my name's Brenda. I'm one of the owners. And she goes, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I go, well, I don't pay. You know, and we have a, so when I pulled into the drive-thru, there was a truck coming, and he let me go in. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's your lucky day, buddy, because we have a habit of buying for the person behind us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's just community.
Yeah. Every time I go through the drive-thru, if there's someone behind me, their meal's on me.
So you guys are the ones that start that every week.
Yeah, to pay forward, okay. Right.
And you have customers that do that.
Oh, it's amazing. We've had times where it's gone on for minutes. People just buying and buying.
Yeah.
And, or someone will leave a $20 bill and say,
right.
Use this as long as you can, or a $50 bill, sometimes even a $100
bill. $100 bill recently at Foot Avenue just left a $100 bill. It's like, buy everybody as they come through until you use up the $100.
Yeah. It's just amazing. And Tim Hortons does that every once in a while, too. Yeah. They would send their staff out and say, okay, there's a credit card, and use it for $100, and they'd go to the different stores. So there is so much kindness in our world.
It is funny.
We can add some. It's wonderful. Yeah.
It is funny. She tells about going to the stores. Going to the stores, and we were in Olean. We were coming back from a funeral, and we went through the Olean store. Now, Olean is reasonably new, and I know a number of the employees, but a number of them obviously don't know me yet.
Right.
So I go through, and I get to the window, and it was $6 or $7, and I says, yeah, you have to manage your discount, Dad. I said, she says, why? And I says, well, I'm the owner. And she says, yeah, really?
So she says,
what do you mean? I says, is there a supervisor here? She goes, yeah, so-and-so. I says, well, just ask her. And she came over. She says, oh, that's Vic. You're okay. You know. And the girl just looked at me. And I said to her later on, and I actually said to the group manager when I talked to her, I says, great thing. I said, she questioned me about being
the
owner.
She just didn't give it
didn't say, oh, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She questioned it and made me feel good that I know there wouldn't be someone couldn't go up there and say, hey, I'm Vic or Brenda or Blake and get their food.
Well, the first time I went to the stores out in Olean, I went in and I, like Vic said, I'm kind of about decorating. So I brought, it was about Memorial Day. So I brought in some red, white, and blue stuff and I brought some candy. And so the one girl came running out to me. She goes, you must be Brenda. I heard you decorate and you bring treats. I go,
like
I guess that's my claim to fame.
In your family trees, you have brothers and sisters, cousins, and everybody else. Are any of them so involved in an organization or into a business, or is it just used to? Is that a family trend?
Actually,
are they in Tim Hortons, or do they have Joe Blow's gas station?
No, they. I have an older sibling, retired from Bausch Lomb. He was at Bausch Lomb, and I have a younger brother that works for is in management at Flower City Printing. They do printing the boxes and stuff. But none of them are in the restaurant business. They asked me about it, and I said, you might want to think twice about it. But,
I used to have hair. No, you're still doing good. Yeah. You're still doing good. That, edit that one out.
Yeah, that boy.
How about your tree, Brenda?
No, I have a very different family, but no, I don't know.
None of them are in the business.
That's awesome. Like Vic said, we just decided this is what we were going to do. And when both of us are pretty hard workers.
Mm-hmm.
So we just said, this is, we wanted something that we could pass on to our boys.
Yeah.
You know, and it's worked. I mean, Blake's going to have a good life, and his children are going to have a good life. It's we've started something that hopefully will last for a while for our family. And
he's certainly growing.
You know, we both came from struggling families that, you know, we didn't have anything given to us. And so we just got lucky that this community embraced us like it did. And I mean, we could have fallen flat on our face. And we were afraid. I mean, when we bought the business, it wasn't doing real well.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew Hortons here.
Mm-hmm.
And when Vic told me, I mean, he was a VP at a company. I thought, oh, this is life is going to be good, you know. And then he quits. I'm like, oh, okay, dokie.
Did you?
But
I'm sorry.
I had a background in food. Years ago, I had waitressed, and I met Vic at Elfie's when I was the bar manager there, and then after we had Blake, then I went. I did some daycare, and then I worked in the schools, which I loved. Mm-hmm. That was hard to give up, but
that's got to be one of the best parts about having the bakery part of the Tim Hortons is seeing the little kid, the little Timbits, the hockey players come in with their jerseys to get their.
Remember
donut
when they used to have up. Roll up their
yeah,
little shirt, and then they'd get a little thing in Timbits.
I just played hockey. I want my Timbit or whatever.
Or they get the juice.
Did you spend time on Hunt Road?
We spent a lot of time, and then we moved up Hunt Road. We haven't left Hunt Road.
Were there any fish in that pond?
Yes, there was. The boys every once in a while would go fishing, and they were told to put them back in after they caught it. But in the wintertime, you know, you talk about hockey, we froze that pond.
Mm-hmm.
Blake and the buddies were all out there skating.
We only did it 1 year though, because it was nerve wracking.
Oh, yeah, imagine.
Because if someone fell in.
Well, sure.
But I mean, we grew up. I mean, I don't know what I mean. Growing up in Bemis, we skated on the lake. Yeah. We skated on Alms had a big barn.
Barn, you skated there.
Yeah,
did you know the Hansen family, Bob Hansen? And,
yes.
You know?
I thought you were talking about the Slapshot family. Yeah.
Slapshot. Right.
Yes.
And Ori Hoover, the barrel jumper.
No, I didn't know that.
It was great on skates.
Yeah, but
we have a few minutes left here.
But you talk about the Russ. You brought up the thing about employees. You know, I mean, what from a standpoint, we between the seven stores now we have 170, 180 employees.
Oh my goodness!
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's a significant
sure,
you know, and it's not a small payroll anymore. When we first started a business. We were lucky
if we had 20 some. Yeah.
And we were paying people $5.50 an hour. That was minimum wage, you know. Mm. Now, today, that's not the case.
No.
But it sounds to me like family.
It is.
Friends and family.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And your employees, some that I know and have run into over the years, are so very, very proud about working. Well, they don't really work at Tim Hortons to be part of that.
Yeah.
There's a great pride they have in it. Each and every one, I'm sure, of every single employee you have is very proud to be part of that team.
They're good to us.
Yeah, and, you know, some of them have been with us for a long, long time. We have one employee that's been with Don at Brooklyn Square. He's been there since the day it opened.
And what did he start as?
He still does dishes and that stuff, but he's handicapped?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, but you have second generations.
Oh, we do.
We do.
We've had some kids that went to camp.
Uh-huh.
And now they work for us.
No. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is heartwarming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is.
Wonderful.
Now, the one girl just went on to finish college and stuff, but she started college and she was working for – she started in high school. She started working for us. She went to college. And when she was back and forth, she worked for us. And she went to camp.
Oh my gosh.
She was 7 years old, 8 years old, and went to camp.
You know? We've had some amazing, pretty rewarding.
Yes.
You know, we have some amazing kids that have started with us that in high school, then they'd go off to college and come home on their breaks and work for us. And and you get so attached to some of these people that work for you.
I mean,
that's the thing that I miss because I would, I was kind of like the PR, well, the HR person. I would sit down and learn their life and, you know, kind of mother. When I would come, they'd say, Mom's here. You know, but it was, you know, a lot of them need someone to care about them.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's, and, you know, unfortunately, we can't hire a lot of kids because our business really is a 5 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So, it's more they come in at night and they work weekends and stuff like that. So we don't have a lot of kids, but the ones that we have, you know, it's nice to watch them grow and do their thing.
Yeah.
Being on that side of the counter and being obviously, you know, mature and successful, to speak to those people who sometimes the order is wrong or that coffee is really hot and they forgot to give you a sleeve for the coffee. And can you... We're trying to be nice to people, and we're trying to pass it forward, be nice, but from your perspective, sometimes you can talk to the listener right now. Do you just want to say, give them a break? They're working hard. They make mistakes.
These people working for us today are in conditions that I never would imagine they'd had to work in.
Yeah.
I mean, they're wearing masks. They're wearing gloves. They're for a period of time. Last year, if you were running the register and taking cash, you couldn't touch the product. And it was just, I mean, it was tough. They're working behind shields. They got these masks on. They're running. They're trying to... You know, when we used to hire people, her and I, we'd always tell them, when you leave working, you will be not only mentally tired, but you'll be physically tired. Okay? The job's not easy.
That's the job.
It's not an easy job.
And then then our help has to be told to wear masks and to wear gloves and how to
make it harder.
It's just unbelievable. You got to take temperatures and they were confronted with people because you know right now if you go to our restaurants they're all wearing masks, they're all wearing gloves. That's still required. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to post it on the doors that if you come in vaccinated or not, we ask you to wear a mask. And it's amazing. No, people don't wear them. Okay, right. You don't want to wear it. And our staff says, should we tell them? And, we don't. Right. We don't want to confront them. We don't want to offend anybody's rights. If they don't want to wear a mask, they don't wear a mask. Okay, but it's amazing what these people, what our help goes through. And it's not an easy job.
In a business, corporation in a different country, too. So the Canadian and United States concepts are different with
oh, yeah.
I mean, so that's got to be in itself,
Yeah, the United States does things the United States way, and Canada doesn't. There's a lot of similarity. I mean, obviously, look at your coffee cup. There's a maple Canadian, leaf. There's a maple leaf on there, okay? So, there's definitely no holding back that our roots from our business go back to Canada.
Okay? But, we've been very lucky because of where we are. We proved ourselves at the beginning when they would come in and do the surprise visits, and we did well. So, and our sales are strong, and they would come to our stores, and we would be there. They never had to tell us that we had to work weekends. I mean, my day off was Tuesday. His day off was Wednesday. We worked all weekend because that we needed to be there with our employees. And so we were so lucky to be in our own little area, and they didn't bother us. We were very fortunate.
We flew underneath the radar.
We were just lucky. It was like we're in our little pod,
Well, Vic and Brenda Tirana, you said lucky a lot, but I also know the word's been thrown out, respect and hard work. And I think it all comes, full circle for you guys. I mean, it's one of those things. If you look at the American dream, you really can get what you put into it. And I think you guys are prime examples. And I think you're great friends, great business owners, great community members. And Russ, this is what this show is about. Absolutely. You and Mr. Roselli started this was to bring these type of people in to share these type of stories. And it's a fantastic one.
Absolutely. And just this hour spending here now, I go home a better person.
You could be a better person. You're pretty high up there, buddy.
Only when he has his cup of happiness from Tim Hortons.
I'm in the shadow of both of you.
Well, I'm glad this is radio, not TV, because I've cried through this whole hour. And I'm still crying right now. Thank you.
Well, Vic and Brenda, sincerely, though, thank you very much. And congratulations on your successes.
Yep.
And we look forward to seeing Blake continue to grow. Great young man. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much for thinking of having us on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Your support of the business and us has been outstanding, and we appreciate it.
It's our honor.
Yeah.
I'm Andrew Hill.
I'm Russ Dietrich.
And this has been The Times of Your Life on WJTN Jamestown.